Well, glory to God. Given it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Amen. Praise the Lord. I like that song. Tell you what, I thought about just getting up and running around a little bit. Maybe I'll just do that. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. I'll tell you the truth about it. I found out that it doesn't all just depend upon me in the sense that it's what I can work for and that type of thing, that I can get in on the laws of increase that God has put in the Bible, and that I can receive more than just what I could by myself. God helps us, isn't that right? And so I'm going to encourage you to believe God in regards to your finances, in regards to whatever it is that you need. Amen. And you can never go wrong exercising your faith. Isn't that right? And God is pleased when takes pleasure in someone who exercises faith in His Word, trusts in His Word, and relies upon His Word, is committed to His Word. And so I want to encourage you to exercise your faith every day. Don't let a day go by where you don't exercise your faith for something. Isn't that right? The Bible says that we should walk by faith, live by faith. And I'll tell you the truth about it. It's a privilege to walk by faith, to live by faith. You know, the thing is that I look out across the world and there's a lot of people don't know a thing about living by faith, and they don't have a clue about what they missed. I tell you, if you've ever exercised your faith one time, how many of you have exercised your faith one time and received something from God? Now let me just tell you this. Let me tell you something. That ruined you. Now you're ruined. Because you'll never be satisfied with normal, what the world thinks is normal living. Amen. You found a new way of living. Glory to God. And so we want to encourage you with that tonight. And before I get into the message, I did hear that one of our family here at the church had an accident this morning, David Brunson. And he is got hit, I guess, by a semi-truck. And I saw the pictures. And where's he at? Stand up wherever you're at. You're here tonight in this place. I don't know where you are. Is he not here? Anyway, he walked away from it unharmed. Let's just give God glory. Let's just thank the Lord that he is absolutely, absolutely unharmed in the name of Jesus. We thank God for that. Amen. And so we appreciate so much what God can do in our lives. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 11, verse 23 and 24. I'm going to begin there, and then also you can look at, I want to look at three scriptures right away. Mark 11, 23 and 24, and then Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, and then 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. And I want to look at a particular aspect of exercising your faith, and we'll just talk about that a little bit tonight, and maybe that'll be a blessing to you. Praise the Lord. I always found out that it's always a blessing to go in and fine-tune my faith so that it works even better. Isn't that right? So Mark 11, 23 and 24, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Now over in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, it says this. Verse 9, it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 says this, since we have the same spirit of faith, I always like that phrase, since we, I'm included. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you're included. We have the same spirit of faith. According to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. Say it with me. We also believe and therefore speak. That those three verses right there, all three mention believing with your heart and speaking with your mouth, and that describes the operation of faith. And so I want to look at that just a little bit tonight. I know that we could talk about in a lot of different areas about faith. I want to look at one particular aspect. And if you get this right, certainly the rest of it will work too. But I want to talk to you about believing with your heart. I talk to people, numbers of people every week, and not just here, but out and about. And sometimes people call in from other places around the country. And sometimes there's people, I find people really don't understand what it means to believe with your heart. And so I want to look at that just for a little bit, because it's out of a believing heart that we're to speak the word, and that's when we'll get the results that we're looking for. And so believing the word with our hearts is necessary, not just mentally agreeing with it. And so we can look at it this way. Bible believing is really quite different than our modern day concept of believing. A lot of modern day concept of believing is simply going along with something, agreeing with something. If I ask you if STOP means stop, sure, everybody'd agree. But it's another thing to really believe, like the Bible says, to rely upon that, to be committed to that, to be persuaded that STOP means stop and that we actually do it. Don't get quiet on me right now. I'm not talking about you necessarily. But maybe I am. I don't know. I have to watch myself sometimes. You know, sometimes I think to myself, you know, I just slowed down. I didn't really stop. I need to stop that. And so we go along here. We have a red octagonal sign that we see, and it means stop. We all agree to that. But whether we actually do it or not is another question. Whether we're committed to do what it says is another question. Whether we rely upon that is another question. Whether we're persuaded that that's what we should do is another question. Isn't that right? I heard the story of a man that was in a hurry going to work one morning, and he came to come to the corner, slowed down, zipped around the corner, and a policeman happened to be sitting there and pulled him over and said, why didn't you stop at the stop sign? And he said, well, officer, I did slow down. And the officer said, that's not good enough, and gave him a ticket. Next morning, same man, same corner, same policeman. And this officer again asked him, he said, why did you not stop? And the man said, I did slow down. Gave him another ticket. Third morning, same man, same corner, same policeman, did the same thing, pulled him over again. And the policeman asked him the third time. He said, why did you not stop? And he said, officer, I did slow down. An officer reached in, pulled him out of the car, took his nightstick and started whacking on him and said, do you want me to slow down or stop? Well, anyway, not a good day for him. But I bet he knew, I bet he realized what stop meant. And sometimes we just got to take a moment and realize, what does the word really say? And are we really relying upon it? Or are we merely agreeing to what it says? Are we committed to it? Are we persuaded to act that way? That is absolutely the truth, and that anything else that contradicts that is not the truth. I'm amused sometimes at people who have their idea of what truth is. Talking about Christians that are amused. I'm amused. They'll quote Facebook before they'll quote a scripture. Don't get quiet on me. I'm just glad that there's something more solid for me to rest my life on than Facebook. I like Facebook. Don't get me wrong. I think it's a great way to stay in touch with friends and see what friends are doing and so forth. And if you want to, you can put on there what you're doing. I'm tired. I think I'll eat now. I'll go to bed now. You know, and some I'm amused at some of it, you know. Some of it's really good. But anyway, but I want you to realize though that God considers anything outside of his word is not the truth. It may be a fact, but subject to change. But the word is truth. Why? It's unchanging. Anything that needs to be changed is really not the truth. Because if it was the truth, it didn't need to be changed. But if it did change, then it wasn't, you know. So the word is unchanging. And if you start going to seminary, then you're amazed at the scholars that aren't even convinced of that. But I want to tell you something. I'm just dumb enough to believe the Bible. Just dumb enough to believe it's the truth. Dumb enough to take it for what it says. Why? You know what it'll do? I'll tell you what it'll do. It's a firm foundation for my faith. Amen. And so we can do that. Now, I want us to look at Abraham just for a little bit, because he demonstrated a believing heart. In Romans chapter 4, we can look at this just a little bit. I'm going to read verses 17 through 20. And we'll look at that just for a few moments here. And then we'll see how Abraham believed God. And he did receive. Amen. He received the promise of God to him concerning a son, even when it didn't look like he could. Verse 17, it says, "As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. And being not weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. And then he said, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God." I'm going to look at a couple of things here just real quickly. First of all, Abraham started calling himself the same name that God called him. God, he was Abram, and then God changed his name to Abraham, father of a multitude. Now, Abram could have refused to say that and said, "I'm not going to tell people I'm Abraham. I don't have any kids." But he went along and he started saying what God said about him. And at some point, now listen to this. At some point after in the process of saying it, he began to believe that. Because you see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It doesn't matter whether it's the preacher saying it, whether you're saying it. It'll create faith in your heart. Amen. I believe this, that you can talk yourself into faith. You talk yourself into believing. And amen. And then once you believe, then you talk out of your believing heart. Glory to God. And that's where the receiving comes in. Amen. Praise the Lord. But you see, now here's what Abraham did. He did what God did. God calls those things that be not as though they were. And so he did the same thing. He called himself what he was not, as if he were. He said, "I'm Abraham." He didn't walk around saying, "One of these days I'm going to be Abraham." See, he didn't put it off into future tense. Now, one of the things about a believing heart is this. It believes that it has what the word says. Because you see, Mark 11:24 says, "What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them." So you see, you start believing that you have what the word says, then you shall have that. Amen. I've had people come up to me and say, "Well, I've been believing, but when do you think I'm going to get it?" I said, "Well," I said, "I just know this much. The believing part's your part, and the shall have them is God's part." Amen. And that brings it forth. Now, I'm ready to receive it when it comes forth. But you see, I like what Brother Hagin said. He said, don't touch that part over there, that shall have them part. You just take care of your part, and God will take care of his part. Amen? So I want to encourage you with that tonight, that God, that your heart, that if you're believing with your heart, then you're calling those things that be not as though they were. You're calling those things that you're believing for as though they were. I believe that by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. I believe my needs are met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I believe that angels are camped around about me at all times to guard, protect, and keep me safe. I believe that no weapon formed against me prospers in Jesus' name. On and on you could go, promise after promise, promise after promise. Last Wednesday night we looked at it, we found out that all the promises of God are for us. All things are yours. What remains is that you and I start believing with your heart and start speaking it out of your mouth and appropriating those things into your life. Amen. And so you see, one of the other things that I noticed about Abraham is early in his life, there were people that came to him. His wife came to him and said, she had an idea. She said, why don't you have a child with my maid? And Abraham said, maybe that's a good idea. And he was persuaded to go that direction. That tells me he was not yet believing with his heart. Because you see, once you believe something with your heart, you won't be talked out of it. Isn't that right? It's this way and no other way. I'm firmly persuaded, fully persuaded, that what God has promised, the way God says it's going to be, is the way it's going to be. Hallelujah. Amen. And so I know that Abraham, he grew in faith. I like that where it says there in verse 20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened. He was strengthened. In other words, he got stronger and stronger. Might not have always been strong. How many of you have ever, you won't tell anybody, I know you don't tell anybody, but how many of you sitting in your seat, you know that there were times when you've not been strong in faith. But now, glory to God, you'd be willing to testify, I'm stronger in faith now. Glory to God. Amen. And so we grow in faith. And so God gives us this opportunity to grow in believing that the things that we ask for are ours. In verse 18, he said this, who contrary to hope, in hope believed. In other words, when all hope was gone, he believed. See, there was no natural reason to have any hope, to have a child, and yet he believed. Why did he believe? Because he had the word of the Lord. He chose to believe the word of the Lord versus his circumstances. And sometimes you just got to choose. There are times when your circumstances don't really contradict what God says, and you can go along here and believe God's word and enjoy the circumstances you're in. But on the other hand, there are times when circumstances are in direct contradiction to what the promise of God says. Isn't that right? And that means you got to choose what the word says if you're going to walk by faith. Because faith always chooses the word of God. Amen. And so when all hope is gone, yet he believed. He relied upon the promise of God. He was committed to the promise of God. He was persuaded of the promise of God. Amen. Kept calling himself Abraham. God said, you're going to go out, your descendants shall number as the stars. And he kept going outside and staring up at the sky, encouraging himself. And then the Lord told him, he said, your descendants shall number as the dust of the ground. And so he kept walking around in the sand by day. And they said, what are you doing? He said, I'm thinking about my grandkids. I'm thinking about my great-grandkids. I'm thinking about my offspring down through. They're going to be a number more than, they're going to be as innumerable as the sand that I'm walking on. See, he encouraged himself day and night. God gives, he didn't have the Bible at that time. But he heard from God. Today we got scriptures. You say, well, I think I'll go get me a sand pit. No, you got something better than a sand pit. You got the word of God. Amen. Somebody says, you know, I think I'll just go out. You know, I just feel so close to God when I'm looking at the out there, the stars and all of that. And thank God for feelings. But on the other hand, I'm close to God right here. Amen. I've got a more sure word. I've got a more sure thing than the stars in the sky or the planet that I'm walking on. It's this word right here. Isn't that right? One of the other things that I noticed about Abraham when he started believing with his heart is he didn't consider any other options. He did not consider his dead body. He did not consider how old Sarah was or that she had been barren all this time. He considered the promise of God. At some point, he decided not to consider his own body and not to consider Sarah's barren condition, and he only considered what the Word says. And so, friends, sometimes you got to focus in on the promise of God and believe that will come to pass, and not just look around all the time. And start thinking about, well, if this doesn't work, let me think, see what my options are. Faith isn't looking for options. Faith looks for the promise. Amen. And so we have to realize that. Then in verse 20, it says he did not waver at the promise of God. He did not stagger around like a drunk man, you know, that couldn't hardly make it across the street. No, what did he do? Let me tell you. He did not waver. He's firmly fixed upon the promise of God. He did not waver. He became single-minded about what he was going to receive from God and what he was believing to receive from God. And so I see there where Abraham, the Abraham kind of faith will work for him and it'll work for you. Look at your neighbor and say, it'll work for you. Now, one of the things I know about faith is this, that it's designed to work this way. Your mouth is designed to speak words, the word, out of your believing heart. In other words, it comes out of a believing heart and is spoken out of your mouth. You have to have a believer and you have to have a speaker. Isn't that right? And so that's the way it's designed to work. And so sometimes I find people that they know kind of the right words to say when they're around certain people, and so they'll say things, but you never see something happen. That's right. Ever meet somebody that you know that speaks something and nothing happens? And then you meet somebody else and they speak the same thing, and it's like heaven shows up. It's just like that. What happened? Why? But the best I can tell you is this, that one speaks out of a believing heart and the other one's endeavoring to get there, I guess. Amen. Amen. And so Luke 6:45 gave me some great insight when, as I looked at this concerning a believing heart, and he said this, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. Now I want this last phrase, for out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Evidently, your heart and your mouth are connected. And if you want to know what's in your heart, all you have to do is listen to yourself for a while. Amen. 20th century New Testament says, what fills a man's heart rises to his lips. The Bible in basic English says, for out of the full store of the heart come the words of the mouth. The Rotherham emphasized says, out of an overflowing of heart speaketh his mouth. Amplified says, out of the abundance or overflow of the heart, his mouth speaks. And so I want you to see, first of all, that your heart is and your mouth are connected. Now, it's connected whether you speak the Word of God or whether you speak something else. Because if you're not full of the Word, then you're full of something else. Come on now. I know what you're thinking. But it is true. We're full of something. It's just the Word or something else. It's what our heart. And we find, how many of you have ever found yourself speaking out of something that you didn't intend to say and you wonder, where did that come from? And it came out of your heart. It was in there and it just had to, like one little boy, he shouted hallelujah right in the middle of church service. And his parents grabbed him, and this was not a church where they normally did that. And so they grabbed him and hushed him up and afterward asked him, so why did you do that? He said, I don't know. It was just in there and had to come out. Well, see, your heart and your mouth are connected. But now I want to show you something that the Lord showed me, and it just kind of revolutionized what my way of looking at it. Took some of the mystery out of, well, do I believe or don't I believe? He said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the overflow, some other translations say. Notice it did not say, out of the barely enough. Or out of the little bit in your heart, but out of the abundance, out of the overflow. And that led me to understand this then, that God wants me to, my heart, to be so full of the Word of God until there's so much pressure in there that it's looking for relief. And in this case, the way to get relief is to speak it out of your mouth. Amen? And so you can build the Word into your heart. Never underestimate the value of reading the Word one more time, of looking into the Word one more time. Why? What are you doing? You're putting abundance in your heart, abundance of the Word in your heart. Because you see, in a pressure time, when the pressure's on, you want the Word to come out of your mouth. Even if you don't have time to think, you want the Word to come out of your mouth. You don't want, you know, something you used to say or something like that. Isn't that right? You want the Word to come out. Look at your neighbor and say, I know that's true. See, God help us not to say what we used to say. Amen? The way not to say it is to fill up with the Word. Amen. And so the operation of faith is designed where a person speaks out of the overflow of what is in their heart. And so here's how the Lord explained it to me, and I'm going to use William right here, just as he's okay if you help me, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. It's a price to pay to sit on the front row. Tony's laughing because he's sitting on the second row and thinks he got out of it. But that's okay. Now, William, how long has your name been William? Just ask you a couple questions. All your life. So how do you know that?
I remember my mom saying it when I was little.
Your mom said it. Your mom said it when you were little. Is there any other evidence that your name is William?
Birth certificate.
Birth certificate. Got anything? You don't carry that around, though, do you? You don't look at that once in a while to make sure what your name is, do you? No. Do you have something else?
Driver's license.
Why do you carry that? Not
for
identification purposes, not so you can remember your name, but so others can. Isn't that right? You don't need it because why? You know your name. Now, with the day you got born, I know what your parents did. I wasn't there, but I know you had good parents, and so I know what they did. They didn't call you, you know, Tom. I'm going to call him Tom. Hi, Tom. And I know what you did. Nothing. They looked at each other. What's the matter with that boy? He didn't respond. Let's call him William. William. No response. He just went on sleeping. They were good parents. They didn't say, we need to talk to the doctor. There's something wrong with this boy. They didn't do that. What did they do? They understood that it's going to take hearing and hearing before he recognizes William with himself, the name William with himself. At some point, I don't know how old you were, you began to realize that William is something associated with you. When you heard William, you knew they were talking about you. Now, in a room this size, if somebody said real loud, William, you would probably turn around and look, wouldn't you, if you heard it? Why? It's an automatic response. Why? Because it's down inside of you. You don't have to think, now, William, William, yeah. That sounds like my name. Let me think now. I should respond to that. No, that's not the way we do it. You see, did you notice how automatically he responds to William? Why? Because that's all he's ever heard. Now, let's just say this. What if every person in this room, I don't know how many we got in this room, but everybody in this room, we all told you, William, that we've got some new evidence. Your name is really not William. You thought it was all these years, and maybe that's what you thought you heard, but it's not. It is not William. It is Bill, or maybe Bob. Robert. Let's go with Robert. It's Robert. What would you do? You're already laughing. You wouldn't believe me. Why not?
Too much evidence.
But not only is the evidence there, but what happened? Your believer believes a certain thing because that's all that you've ever heard. Isn't that right? So when you don't have to stop and think, well, now, how come I can't respond right when somebody says William? You know, like sometimes, you know, or somebody says, what's your name? It's William. I just seem to forget it all the time. It just doesn't. No, we don't do that, do we? But that's what we do with Scripture. Here's how the Lord explained it to me. He said, when you know your name, your Scripture, like you know your own name, that's when it'll work for you. That's when it'll work for you. When it's down inside of you, and it just comes up. And as soon as you hear it, you respond. There's a certain action that the Scripture demands or tells us to do, and we just do it. We don't say, I got to think about that. Let me pray about that. No, it's already in the Word, and it's already programmed into us. It's what we've heard, and so that's what we believe. Amen? And that's the abundance. See, you've heard an abundance of William all your life. Isn't that right? And see, that's what happens when we as people have an abundance of the Word in us. We'll respond to situations with the Word just like we would. Somebody says, calls our name, we'd automatically respond. Amen. So you see, now Romans 4:21. I didn't read that a while ago, but I'll finish up with this. It says this, that Abraham, being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. See, there's one thing to agree with something, that something could happen. It's another thing to be fully persuaded that it will happen. Or that it is even now happening as we speak. Say, amen. See, so I got to school myself into faith on certain things. If I'm finding myself struggling, what do? I go back to the Word. I say, okay, it takes more Word. I just don't have it in abundance. It's not coming up out of me like it should. You see what I'm saying? I got to go back and I got to put the right thing in so the right thing can come out. Amen? If my automatic response is something different than what I know the Word says, that means I got to go back and put the Word back into me. Because once I got it down in me, that's when it'll just come up. It'll just come up. Amen? So we encourage you to keep believing the Word of God. We could go on. We got more notes and we got time. But I want to tell you tonight that over and over, ever since I've gotten into the message of faith, I'm so thrilled. I remember when I first heard the message of faith, I thought to myself, I can do that. That's simple. I can do that. I can believe and I can speak. Isn't that right? How many of you believe you could believe with your heart and speak with your mouth? How many of you raise your hand, let the devil know, I'm going to believe with my heart and I'm going to speak with my mouth the Word of God? Amen. Stand up on your feet and let's bless the Lord and thank Him right now for His Word. I'll tell you the truth. You know, we just got to get thrilled about the Word of God and thrilled about believing His Word. And don't get tired of believing. You say, I know I've met people and I just sense this by the Spirit that there may be people here tonight. You've come into this place and you've been believing and believing. You've been wondering, how come? Why is it so hard? Why do I have to believe so long? Why is it taking so long? And my friend, it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. And it's out of the abundance of the word in your heart that the mouth will speak the word that will go forth and bring what you need. If it's not happening, my friend, listen to me. I hear this by the Spirit. Go back and feed some more on the word. Go back and feed some more on the promises of God. Get them down in you. Just feed on them. Just get filled up to overflowing. You might be sick and tired of reading those promises one more time. But my friend, listen, if you have it overflowing in your heart, you won't be sick and tired of it. So keep putting it in until it overflows out of your heart and joy rises up in your heart and thrills your soul because you know your faith is working. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Now let's praise Him one more time. He's worthy of praise. Father, we thank You in the name of Jesus. We praise You now that You're doing a good work in our lives. You're helping us. You're guiding us and directing us. Thank You, Holy Spirit, that You help us. You teach us the Word. You teach us how to walk by faith. You teach us how to receive. You encourage us in believing. You encourage us to speak. Lord, the Word of God, and we thank You now. You are our ever-present help in time of trouble. And every day, no matter what we need, You're our ever-present help in time of need. We praise You and thank You for it, Father. You're willing to help us. You want to help us. You're liberal in Your help with us. And we thank You for Your abundant help. In Jesus' name, thank You now that You're doing a good work. In Jesus' name. Amen. Did you get something out of this tonight? Hallelujah. Well, if you're here for the very first time, we encourage you to connection team members to go find those guests that are here for the very first time and just go get that gift that's been prepared for you. It'll bless you and help you in your faith at the same time. It'll be a great time. And we want to say thank you for coming and trust that you'll come back Sunday morning or as soon as you can and enjoy the Word of God even more. And so we've got people up here. We've got prayer workers up here, altar care team up here, ladies on this side, men on this side, if you couldn't tell. And so you just have to, ladies go over there and men go over here. Of course you could tell, couldn't you? But you woke you up there, didn't I? Got your attention. Amen. So if you got prayer needs, just come down and they'll pray with you. Glory to God. Amen. Well, shake hands with somebody and say, I'm a believer. How about you? God bless you. Don't forget Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, School of the Bible, and Sunday morning service right here at 10 a.m. God bless you all.